Really happy New Year to everybody. We appreciate everybody being part of the team and look forward to going into the new year with much continued success. As some of you already know, as I've reached out to you, we've been reviewing some of the biologics documentation, and there are a number of inconsistencies and things like that. So I want to kind of do a recap on things tonight to make sure that everybody is understanding what is needed for the documentation, understanding what is needed for the appropriate patients, and making sure that those elements are captured in your documentation. First off, as we've described before, these biologics can be used for a multitude of different types of wounds. Really, any sort of wound you can pretty much consider to be eligible. However, there are very specific contraindications to use. If there is active infection, generally, that's a big one for not using the biologics. We've also mentioned that if there's any sort of exposed structure, whether that's hardware, whether that's fascia, muscle, tendon, bone, those should also be patients that shouldn't receive the biologics yet. Now, if those structures do eventually get covered with some sort of granulation tissue, things like that, then those patients would be eligible. But from a CMS standpoint, you cannot have any sort of exposed structure. We've talked about the minimum size being really 1 square centimeter. Understand that realistically, most of these manufacturers are not making any grafts that are smaller than 2 by 2. So if you do have a wound that is less than 2 by 2, understand that you will have some graft wastage. These patients need to have documented in their in the notes what treatments have failed and also what comorbidities they have that kind of impair or impede their healing. That is something that we have included in the pre-application template. And for both the pre-application and the application templates, again, these are guidelines. If you have additional information that you think is relevant and important, feel free to use them. However, the elements that are bolded do need to be filled out. They are not just there to be copied and pasted over and over again. Those are patient-specific, and those need to be filled out so that you can justify the use of the biologics. So please take the time to review that, to make yourself familiar with the elements that need to go into the note and fill out those pieces of information. One of the things that we're also going to ask is that for the pre-application and the application template to be carried over from week to week when you're doing those applications. It's been sometimes difficult to identify or locate that information when we've wanted to find it to, to again, to make sure that all of that information is complete. So we are going to ask that you do carry over that information from week to week. However, my suggestion to everybody is that for the application template, you should update the date that you're applying that so that billing can track that properly. And so that you can avoid getting an email from Tisch saying, "Hey, did you apply a biologics this week or not?" Because you didn't list the appropriate date. The other big thing that we've talked about before is that there has to be medical optimization of comorbidities. So if the patient is a diabetic, you need to make sure that their diabetes is under good control and that we have a documented A1C in the chart. If they have any sort of vascular disease, there needs to be either a exam indicating whether pulses are present or an ABI or some sort of objective measure stating that the patient has enough perfusion to be able to heal the wounds. Again, if the patient is documented to be a smoker, then there needs to be a discussion that smoking cessation has been discussed. Again, it is going to become very, very important to make sure you have these elements in your notes. We have already seen instances where auditors are reviewing this. And frankly, there is a lot of inconsistency on the auditor side of things. And I'm not referring to the medical education auditors. I'm referring to the insurance auditors. There's a lot of inconsistencies, so it's better to have all of the information complete and in the notes from week to week. So again, this is why we're stressing this tonight. The other thing that I kind of want to mention is that we've certainly talked a lot about biologics. If the biologics are not working after about three or four applications and you should start to see some improvement, then stop. This is not something where we've seen a couple of instances where we've gone to six, seven, even eight applications of a biologics with no improvement. Those certainly are going to be instances where auditors are going to inquire as to why so many applications were done when it hasn't been an effective treatment. We understand that the treatment is not going to work for everybody, so if it's not going to work after three or four applications, there's really no reason to extend it to seven or eight. So those are some of the things that I really wanted to review about the biologics and the criteria and the protocols and those types of things. I do also want to stress that you can use these on healing wounds as well. There may have been some either misinterpretation or misunderstanding that this is only for a declining wound. You can also use these for healing wounds. However, that rate of healing needs to be less than 50% reduction of the size of the wound within that 30-day period. So those are, again, really the main things about the biologics that I wanted to review and make sure that everybody's on the same page here, because it is going to be very, very important that our documentation is very, clear and complete, that we have all of those elements. So I would like to take a pause here and open the floor up to any sort of questions or concerns about anything that I've gone over.
Dr. Karamadi, it's Brittany.
Hi,
I
Brittany.
have a question. Hi. Okay, is there like what am I trying to say here? Is there like an optimal number or like different treatments before? Because you want to state that you've tried this treatment, this treatment, this treatment, and it wasn't effective. And so like how many treatments do you would you say should you ideally have tried before reaching out for a biologic?
I think that's a good question, and that's a fair question. That really hasn't, I guess there nobody has really come up with a specific number. At least none of the sources that we've talked to or used have stated that CMS considers any magic number of treatments that have been used. Again, I think that's kind of left up to your clinical judgment. If you think that after two different treatments, it's justified, or if it's three or four, I don't know that there's necessarily a specific number of treatments that have failed. The guidelines just basically state that it is failed conservative treatment.
Okay, thank you.
And the other element that again I kind of want to stress is that as part of the application process, there should be some debridement of the wound before application. Again, this is done to help eradicate any potential biofilm. This is also there, or it's also necessary to kind of stimulate some bleeding for better absorption and resorption of this graft. So, that element should be documented in your note as well. I personally just use the procedure area of the wound assessment form to kind of document that I'm, that I've done a debridement for preparation for the graft. And as such, there should also be a post-debridement measurement. I understand that for a lot of these wounds, the measurement may be, very minimally changed, but that should be documented in the note as well. Any other questions about any of this?
For the no active infection situation, I guess I understand making sure there's clinically no evidence of infection, but for patients who have been on like 6 or 4 or 6 week antibiotic courses that they're still on, but there is no like clinical evidence that the wound's infected, is that an appropriate time to consider that, or is it something where it's just better off to wait for the antibiotic course to finish?
So I'm assuming if they're getting that long of a course of treatment, they're probably under the direction of an infectious disease specialist. After again, I'm making an assumption here that, after 4 to 6 weeks of antibiotics, that probably is nearing its end. So I think in that sort of instance, if active infection is under control, then then that would be okay to graft. Now, I guess my other assumption is that if they're getting that, range of an antibiotic, if this is osteomyelitis, then that would be, and there's exposed bone, that would be a potential reason not to graft it. So I guess, I would need a little bit more information, but a general guideline is that if it's 4 to 6 weeks they've received antibiotics and there's clinically no signs of infection, then it would be probably a fine to graft. But again, if there's other circumstances like exposed bone and osteomyelitis and those types of things, then that may be a reason to hold off on grafting.
Thank you.
All right. The last element that's slightly going to be different is that you will still go ahead and submit the IVR. However, in the IVR process, we are now going to request a signature. And that signature is basically, the new element of that is that you have, basically done your due diligence to make sure that you have a patient that has been medically optimized. Again, diabetes that is under control, vascular exam, vascular studies that show adequate perfusion and those elements. So that's really going to be the only other difference from the previous IVR process is that we're going to, ask for your signature that you've done those steps and done those measures and documented that in the note. So, Melissa, have I missed or forgotten anything?
No, I think you've covered everything.
All right. So again, I'll certainly open this up for any sort of questions or discussion, if anybody has anything.
Can we have the templates put in a Prima?
Yes, so
With
that is something that is going to happen in the very near future. We are working with the Prima right now to get that built into our wound assessment form. In fact, we're going to be talking to them again, I think, hopefully next week. That is certainly one of our main projects and goals is to get that built into to the form so that all of that stuff is much more easier to much more easier to document.
thanks.
You're welcome. Any additional questions? All right, Milt, I will turn it over to you to if you have anything that you need to discuss.
No, I really don't. Just want to thank everyone for everything that everyone's been doing this year. Hope everyone has a great holiday season. That's really it for today for me.
All right, great. Melissa?
Okay, I just a few MIPS reminders. We're wrapping up the 2024 year. Continue to enter your social drivers, your advanced care plans, complete everything for all your new admissions. We're still trying to help you guys out with the skin sweeps as much as we can. We will be retiring AFib and A-flutter after this year. We're kind of capped out at 3 points for that measure, and it's a lot of work for everyone, including our billing team. So we will be retiring that after 2024. I have new falls and dementia measures for 2025. We're already doing falls and dementia, so that'll just be an easy addition. Aprima wound updates. Like Dr. Karamadi said, we're going to be building in the biologic template right into Aprima. That should be rolled out in the first quarter of 2025. Dr. Karamadi, Samson, and Dina and I have a meeting with Aprima next week to kind of finalize everything for the new updated wound assessment form. Some of those things that are going to be rolled out are the telemedicine and in person. It'll just be a little checkbox, so you guys won't have to convert notes and go through that whole process each time you're going back and forth between telemedicine and in person. Dr.
Yay.
Cardan, I know that that will make you
Yay.
very happy. So, but yeah, there are a lot of hopefully good things coming with Aprima. We've kind of really forced their hand to make a lot of the changes that we've needed. But that's it, and we appreciate how hard you guys work and everything you do for us. And I just want to reiterate what Milt said. Have a very good holiday season. Oh, and if you guys need help with biologics, please reach out to me. I have been reviewing charts for some of our providers to help identify and, with the optimization portion and, if wounds need debrided, anything. So I can help you guys in that aspect. I will be creating or enhancing a report with Samson and Alan in the new year to help you guys identify biologic patients. So that's coming out too.
Right.
And that's all I have.
Thank you, Melissa. Again, I'd like to open the floor out for any questions, any comments, anything else that that needs to be addressed.
Very quick question.
Sure.
Is there a status update on the 3D collagen?
Yes, so we are very close to being able to reopen that back up. There's just some paperwork and things like that that needs to come through for us to be able to give everybody the green light. As soon as that comes in, I will notify everybody that that is going to be available again. I'm hoping that can happen here in the next couple of weeks, but we are still waiting for some paperwork.
I actually sent Carrie Powers a note saying, "Hey, you owe us some paperwork." I sent it today. Hopefully, we'll get one.
Another question, real quick.
Sure.
So just to understand here, so starting in 2025, we no longer have to document our antiplatelets and anticoagulants for AFib and AFlutter. Is that correct?
That is correct. My goal is to get rid of that. I will verify and send an email out, but that is our goal is to get rid of that for 2025. Yes. So you probably will not receive those emails from us anymore. But yes, that is my goal is to get rid of that measure.
And we met our MIPS measure. So, does that mean we get reimbursed based on RIP MIPS now? Do we get the MIPS quality Reimbursement.
Well, we have to see how we score overall as for per state and then overall as a company. Ultimately, we always want at least a neutral payment because then we don't get deducted because it could be as high as 10%. But we also want to score high, and our goal would always be to achieve, a payment as high as an increase as high as 10%. So overall, we won't know what we ultimately achieve until like June, July of 2025. So then, as an executive team, Milt's, Ross, Samson will sit down and figure out what they can do for the physicians. But even then, the increased pay or decrease, we won't get a decrease. But they will have to figure out what they want to do as far as a fee schedule. But none of that take effect goes into effect for 2 to 3 years.
Unfortunately, this past year we had a luckily avoided getting an 8% decrease. We got a neutral, but hopefully, I believe this year the overall provider base that we have did what they were supposed to, and so we're hoping for good tidings on that.
Correct. Yeah, with a neutral payment adjustment, we don't get penalized, but we don't get any extra money from Medicare and Medicaid. So we were just lucky to get what to still remain the same with our payments. So this year, with good participation from our providers and the clinical staff helping out on the back end, we're doing really well. So I'm hopeful that we're gonna cap out and get, a pretty significant increase. We have scored 100% before. I'm hopeful we can do it again. I know Milt and Samson and Ross would really like that.
I mean, a few years ago, we did up the fee schedules when that happened,
Correct.
hoping to have been able to do it this year. But, that didn't happen because not all providers were where they should have been in terms of their turnaround on that. So at least we didn't get penalized. But, for instance, if we had been able to max out, that would have been $1 million to the company. And that could have translated to increased fee schedule. But without it, we couldn't do that, as expenses just went up and revenues were flat in that regard. We've done well from other things, but on pure encounters, that's where this counts.
We had talked a little bit about reimbursements for Medicaid with biologics. Is there any other info about that? I think you had said that it was possibly going to qualify.
So, very good question. The only state that so far it's been a very positive situation has been Ohio. In fact, we did better on Medicaid than we do on Medicare, crazy as that sounds,
Wow.
because Medicaid in Ohio was paying at 100% of the Medicare rate, whereas Medicare only pays you at 80% of the Medicare rate. They have a 20% holdback. So it was a tremendous anomaly, if you will, having that in place. That was with one company, Stability Biologics. We are working with a company who believes they have a path for Medicaid in California,
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
I know, but they said they want to test it out with some others because the person who's doing this is someone we've become friendly with. And he said, in case it backfires, he doesn't want that to happen to us. Because the first time we did something like this, when we first started biologics with a certain company, we lost $138,000. That was with Organogenesis. And, we dropped them like a, whatever, a couple of years ago. So we don't want a repeat of that. So if they come back and say, okay, we've proven it and it works, and Medi-Cal is accepting this, then we can move forward. If we can get in other states, we'll try. But unlike Medicare, which is a federal determined amount, no matter where you are, for the biologics, every state controls what they decide to approve or not approve for Medicaid. And, so I think only three states have approved something for Medicaid, Ohio being the only one that we're in. New York State doesn't right now. California currently doesn't, Illinois doesn't, Indiana doesn't, Pennsylvania doesn't, New Jersey doesn't, so, that's where we are, and, only Ohio to date. We will definitely keep you posted, because as soon as we hear something, we'll want to roll it out. I mean, if long as it's positive.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Mel.
Any additional questions? All right, then. Well, again, I want to thank everybody for joining us. Hope everybody gets chance to spend some time with their family and relax. And Happy New Year to everybody. And again, thank you all for being part of the team. Good night.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good night.
Thanks very much. Good night.